Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand as we sing Holy is the Lord.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God. The earth is filled with His glory. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord.
Be seated, please.
Osage Baptist Church, we're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. We're going to have lunch when this is over, fifth Sunday dinner, and then we're not going to have church tonight. Folks want to travel or whatever, they're going to have that opportunity to be with their family or celebrate in whatever way they want to. We have some announcements. Beck, you have one.
We're going to try to make some newspaper baskets in camp this year. So I would like everybody to bring newspapers. I don't know how common it is to get them anymore, but if we can get some, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Well, what a surprise. I'm going to talk about camp. July 10th through the 13th, Teresa Gathright is trying to get sizes of T-shirts for the adults. So if you plan to work in camp, everybody shake their hand. Make sure you get with Teresa. Teresa, raise your hand in case somebody doesn't know who you are. Get with Teresa and give her your sizes for your T-shirts. We are working on Wednesday nights now to get ready for camp. So if you feel like God is leading you to come help paint or design or prepare or whatever, we need you on Wednesday nights as well. We'll meet at 6 every Wednesday night. So thanks so much. Look forward to seeing y'all. Don't fall over. I'm going to make an announcement. You're shocked, aren't you? Next Sunday at 5 o'clock, we're going to meet at the pavilion and sing like we did a few months ago. We're going to sing and bring your instruments and hymns that you want to sing. And we're going to sing from 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And then we're going to bring potluck and have fellowship after that. And I've asked Boxley to come again. So if y'all can, come.
Donna's having trouble with her back, but it didn't affect her mouth. We're glad. God bless you. I hope you can come to that. That was a good time. And got a lot of stuff going. And, of course, like always, we need lots of help. Our new youth man has first day on the job today. Dalton is with us, and we're thankful for that. They're moving into the parsonage, and so we want to be very supportive of them and us be a blessing to them and them to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and we give this time into your hands. We pray that you would bless this time of music, that you would anoint, that you would anoint the preaching time. Your hand would be on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a quick question. How many veterans do we have or currently serving? Would you all stand? Let's give these guys a round of applause. All right, in honor of Memorial Day, let's all stand and sing a couple of songs. Mine eyes have seen the glory. 1, 2, 3. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vent, it's where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Here God is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camps. His is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. He has sounded forth a trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. I'll be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant at my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the Lord, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on.
Same frame, my country, 'tis of thee.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country thee, land of the noble free, thrills thine on above. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, of thee unseen. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. I am holding on to faith, 'cause I know you'll make a way. I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it. I will believe it, 'cause you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt, that you are faithful then, you'll be faithful now. I am standing on your word, calling heaven down to earth. You will light defeat my enemies, and this will end in victory. And I will believe it. I will believe it. 'Cause you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear. And I will preach to my doubt that you are faithful then. You'll be faithful now. You'll be faithful then. You'll be faithful now. And I know that I know you never fail. Oh yes, I know that I know you never will. And I know that I know you never fail. Oh yes, I know that I know you never will. 'Cause you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear. And I will preach to my doubt. You were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. You were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. 'Cause you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear. And I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. You were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. The passion of the church, let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Holy Son of God, sent from heaven, hope and mercy at the cross. You are everything, you're the promise, Jesus, you are all to us. Let the glory of your name be the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Let the glory of your name be the pageant of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. Yes, you are. You're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. You are. When this passing world is over, we will see you face to face, and forever we will worship Jesus. You are all to us. Jesus, you church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Be seated, please.
I have a presentation to make. We love to make these. Faith, would you come up here, please? Faith, you were adopted into the Hammonds family, but you also adopted into Osage Baptist Church. You're all part of our family, and we are so grateful to have you. God bless you, Faith. Gave her heart to Jesus and then followed the Lord in believer's baptism. God bless you, Faith. Amen. Amen. Our men will come forward to receive the morning offering. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we ask you to fill out that visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate, and we'll have a record of your visit. One of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, and we just pray that you just bless this offering, bless the giver, that we would use it to further your kingdom, dear God. And we just pray that you just help us to be more like you, loving and kind and forgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. you're involved in children's church, you'll be able to take charge right now. We're grateful for those workers. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We've had to ask some of the trouble causers to leave also. No, not really. We're third grade through sixth grades trying a project out, and we'll see how that goes. They grow so fast, they become seventh graders before you know it, and then they're graduating from high school. Roger's dad's funeral is tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Crossroads Church. The visitation will be this afternoon at 5. If I'm wrong on that, somebody correct me right now. 4 this afternoon. But it is 10 tomorrow. Okay, it's 4 this afternoon and 10 tomorrow. Keep that family lifted up to the Lord. 1 Kings 19, we're continuing to learn about Elijah. And so let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. 1 Kings 19, and beginning with verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his mantle, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and his coat. And he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? You may be seated. Now let me bring you up to speed a little bit if you have not been here for all the messages. The land is filled with idolatry. The worst king in Israel's history is in leadership. Ahab, Jezebel, the worship of idols. They're sacrificing their children to Molech. So God sends a prophet. And I believe that that may be happening in our day. I believe that perhaps God still sends prophets to speak the truth to the church, to His people. And I believe perhaps that's happening in our day. There's a lot of untruth being preached, but there is truth being preached. And all over the country and all over the world, men of God are standing up for the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. So God gives the prophet a job. And he said, I want you to go meet Ahab. And I want you to tell him I have a message for him. That it's not going to rain. And there's not going to be any dew for 3 years. And so he met him. And he told him God's word. And then God sends him away. And he comes to this place. And the drought is underway. And so they're not raising crops because it's not raining. And God tells Elijah, I've commanded a widow to take care of you. Now, I believe that God works in most unusual ways. I'm always expecting to work the way I want him to work. And do the way to turn out the way I think it ought to turn out. And it never is that way. So God sends him to this place and tells him, I've commanded a widow to take care of you that has a son. And so she's gathering up sticks to build a fire. And Elijah strikes up this conversation with her and asks her what she's doing. Well, I'm gathering up these sticks. And we've got a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And I'm going to make some cakes, some cornbread or whatever it makes. And my son and I are going to make one for him, one for me. And we're going to eat that and die. Because we don't have any more. It's spent. The oil's spent. The meal's spent. It's all gone. Got a little bit in the bottom. And so, this is strange. The prophet says to her, yeah, it's good. Make me one first. Does that not strike you strange? I mean, I would have figured this woman would have climbed his hump about that time. Are you out of your mind? No, make me one first. Okay, so she does. Every time at supper time, the meal was always there, the oil was always there. For 3 years, God made the supply. Now, you and I have a tendency to depend on what we can see, the bank account. We look at how much we have to buy groceries with, how much we have to pay the electric bill with, the water and all that. We look at how much we have coming in, and that's what we go on. But that's not God's economy. God's economy is that His supply meets our need. And we discover that little is much when God is in it. And so, you know the story because you've heard the preaching. God sends Elijah a second time to Ahab. And Ahab says to Elijah, you're the problem. Watch the news a little bit, folks. The leadership will say the church is the problem. The scientists will say the church is the problem. The school teacher will say the church is the problem, not our school teachers. The church is the problem. We don't want our kids. They're going by the Bible to try to teach our kids. We teach them what they need to be taught. What the devil would have them taught. What the ungodly would have them taught. It's these fanatical Christians that the problem is, and Ahab looks at the prophet and he says, "You're the problem." No, the prophet said, "You're the problem." And he said, "I'll tell you what. Gather those false prophets up to Mount Carmel, and we'll meet, and I'll show you who God is." And so they gathered up, 400 of them gathered up there. You heard the story. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He put the wood in its place. The priest of Baal, the Baal worshipers, their leadership, all of them who sat at Jezebel's table, who was in the leadership roles of the government. Are you getting the story? In the leadership roles of the government, all these ungodly, false teachers. And they put their altar together, and they put wood on it, and they put the bullock on it, and they ran circles and screamed and cried and cut themselves and called out to Baal, and the prophet mocked them. Now, let me just throw in a little side note here. When you take God out of the equation, you foul up drastically. When you take God out of the classroom, you foul up drastically. Now, folks, I'm not a gun person. I've got a few guns. But my grandsons are gun crazy. Some of you guys out there are, too. But they had to show me, my grandsons brought a gun to me, and they had to show me how to load it. And I'm not a gun person. But I'm telling you that the gun is not the problem with someone walking into the classroom and killing the little children. We're living in a society that has decided to take God out of the schoolroom. They've decided to take God out of the workplace. And so there's a terrible drought of morality. We've decided, I didn't, to kill our kids, to slaughter our babies by the millions, to offer them on the idol of Moloch of convenience. And so there is a great drought of morality in our land. And you and I are seeing it on the news every single day. So I said all that to say this. The worshipers of Baal, they will never produce. It just never will produce. It never will be the answer to society's questions. It never will be. You can take God out of everything. That won't answer the questions. That just makes it a whole bunch worse. But it will not answer anything. And so, you know the story. Elijah. Thank you. Elijah he repaired the altar. He put the wood in its place. He put the bullock on the altar, and I'll rush through the last part of this. He prayed, and fire came down. God sent the fire, and it burned up everything, and licked up the water, and so a great spiritual victory. I said all that to say this. When Jezebel gets the news, she sends a message to the prophet. and said, you're going to be dead by this time tomorrow. And the Bible says he saw that, and he ran for his life. So who is this prophet? Who is this guy that we are studying about, this great Elijah? His name means Jehovah is God, but it means more than that. It's not just that Jehovah is God. It means that Jehovah is God and there is no other. And that's true for the Christian today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. There's not but one way, and Jesus is the only way. He's a man that is subject to like passion as we are, James said in the 5th chapter. Really? A man subject to like passion as we are? You mean he's a human being? But he's under the control of the Spirit of God, and so that is how these things are taking place in his life. He's a man of miracles, the Bible says. He raises the dead. He calls down fire. He withholds the rain, or he causes it to rain. He's fed by ravens, by widows, and angels. And so in Horeb, the Mount of God, a lot of stuff took place there. He went 40 days on what God fed him. You know, I understand, and I believe that people need to work. I believe that need to get a job and show up, earn money. I believe in that. I believe that's the way that God has set up the economy for us. But that's not the bottom line. God is the bottom line. Here in Horeb is also a place where Moses meets God. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, you remember what took place in the 3rd chapter of Exodus? Moses is fleeing from Pharaoh, and Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel, and they both end up at the same place. Now, I think there's a story in this for us. How long had Moses been in the wilderness, fleeing from Pharaoh when God spoke to him? 40 years. Did it take 40 years to get Moses' attention so he would listen? Now, hang on, because I'm going to ask you here before long where your Horeb is. God got a plan for you, for me, for my future, for your future. Are you fleeing from something? Am I fleeing from something that I need to hear this still small voice from God speak to my heart? And say, Lanny, this is what I've got planned for you, old boy. You can run from it all you want to, but when you get through running to the backside of the desert, I'm going to meet you there, and I'll still have these plans waiting on you. Moses was on the backside of the desert, fleeing from Pharaoh. When God spoke to him, Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel. Sinai and Horeb is the same place in Exodus 19, verse 16. It was at this place that Moses struck the rock. The children of Israel was crying out for water, And in Exodus, the 19th chapter, God spoke to Moses and he said, I'll tell you what, do. You take the staff that you held out over the Red Sea and it parted, that you held out over the Nile River and it turned to blood, the one that you threw on the ground and it became a snake. You take that rod, which becomes the rod of God, in Moses' hand, and he said, you strike the rock. And then we discover that as we read through the scripture and we get the whole counsel of God, that Jesus Christ is that rock in the desert. He is the one that the water comes from. He is our supplier. He is the one that supplied forgiveness for us. And the striking of the rock represents His death on the cross for our sins. Because they run out of water again. And when they ran out of water again, God said to Moses, speak to the rock and it'll give you water. But Moses is so irritated with the church in the wilderness that the Bible says that he took the rock, the rod of God, and he struck the rock against God's command. Now he went ahead and gave them water. But it wasn't good for Moses. He didn't get to go into the promised land. He got to stand off somewhere and look, see it. But he couldn't go in because of his disobedience to God. Obedience to the Lord in our lives is a very important thing. He struck the rock. Jesus Christ died on the cross once for all and paid all of our sin debts once for all. He never had to go back to the cross again. That debt's all paid. All paid. All we have to do is to accept Him as our Savior. So God has a question in verse 9 of this 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And He says to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, God's not looking for information. He knows all. And when God asks you, or He asks me, what are you doing here? He doesn't need information. He knows all there is to know about me. He knows every little dot and tittle about my life. He knows my thoughts. The Bible says that He knows my thoughts from afar off. He knew me when I was being formed in my mother's womb. He knew exactly what I was going to be like. He knew all there was to know about me. Now, I can't wrap my little pea brain around that. But it's true for you also. He knows all there is to know about you. He knows all there is to know about me. He knows every secret sin of our life. He knows every thought that you've ever had about anything. He knows it all. He's God. But guess what? He loves you anyway. And He loves me anyway. And He wants me to be able to call Him Papa. And He wants me to be able to run to Him as my Heavenly Father. Though He knows all there is to know about me. What are you doing here, Elijah? When God asked Adam where he was in the Garden of Eden, he already knew where Adam was. So Elijah is where he is because he's discouraged. Now we're finally getting deep enough in the well that I can talk about I was going to preach on today. He's discouraged and he's running for his life. It shouldn't be a time of retreat, but a time of revival because of what had just taken place. But Elijah's turned it into a time of retreat. And so in verses 11 through verse 13, he hears God's voice, but it's a still small voice. There's this great storm, this wind that takes place. But the Bible says that God wasn't speaking to Elijah through that. There's an earthquake, and God's not speaking to him through that. And there's a fire, but God's not speaking to him through that. There's these three forces of nature that God is absolutely in charge of. You remember when the disciples was in the boat and the water was coming over the boat, and they were fearful for their lives, and they were about to sink. And the Bible says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat asleep with his head on a pillow. And they woke him up and said, "Do you not care whether we die or not?" And he says, "Oh, you have little faith." And so he stands up. And I haven't heard the song in a long time, Mike, but there's this little phrase in this song. You'll know what it is. But the phrase says something like this. The wind says to the waves, "Shh, that's him. That's him. It's the Son of God. If he says be quiet, we got to be quiet." And so God's in charge of all those things, but he didn't speak to Elijah through those. And he asks again in the 13th verse, he asks him, "Why are you here?" Well, we just read the story, and Elijah says it's somebody else's fault. It's God's people's fault. It's someone else caused it. Someone else caused this problem. They've forsaken thy covenant. They stopped worshiping and serving God. They've thrown down his altars. When Elijah met with the priest of Baal, he had to rebuild, had to repair the altar of the Lord. And then he says, and they're killing the prophets and they want to kill me. Well, I want to give you some good news today. You may be discouraged in the Lord's work. And someone asked me last Tuesday during the election. There's a lot of folks coming and going, and someone stopped visit for a little while, and they asked me if I ever thought about retiring. I said, every Monday morning, I think about retiring. And I discovered something in this passage that I want us to know, that I need to know, and you need to know. Discouragement does not disqualify us. Discouragement does not disqualify us. Now, you may be discouraged now. You might have been discouraged for some time, but it doesn't disqualify us. There's this divine dynamic and direction that God meets us on this road of discouragement under this juniper tree, and he meets us with forgiveness. He meets us with a meal. He meets us with water. He has the birds to feed us when we're not able to feed ourselves. Our disappointment is his appointment. Discouragement does not disqualify. But God does bring Elijah to a place to evaluate what he's doing. And he says, "I got a job for you, Elijah." For the rest of this story is good. He says to Elijah, "Okay, let's go. You're going to anoint the next king over Israel. And you're going to appoint the next prophet that's going to take your place." So let's go, Elijah. Your work's just now getting started. You're right here at this point of discouragement, but God has a great job for you. There's this great demonstration that God gives Elijah, but he doesn't speak to him through the demonstration. I don't know for sure why he sent the wind, why he sent the earthquake, and why he sent the fire. The Bible doesn't say that he did it for this reason, but I believe that it is a demonstration for Elijah to realize that there's no shortage of power concerning God. There's still not. I said last Sunday, I forget when I say stuff, and sometimes that's convenient and sometimes it's not. But I said you never will get your kids raised. You never will get your grandkids raised. And they're always going to be on your heart. They're always going to be... they're just always going to be a part of your life. And you think, there's nothing I can do. I can't do anything but pray. Are you kidding me? That's a whole lot. I can pray. And there is no shortage of power concerning God. We can't change their life, but God can. But I think that he doesn't want us to worship his might, but he wants us to yield to his message. Sometimes when we are at the end of our road, God is just starting with us. Let's stand together. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. You might be under the juniper tree today. Maybe you're slaying the priest of Baal. But God is our hope. He's our only hope. If you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that today. If God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, join this church, I want to invite you to do that today. Or recommit your heart and your life to the Lord. We're going to sing a song of invitation and invite you to come right now. As we sing, you come.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, please, bless, Redeemer, sent from the heart
up here. Erica, come up here. Most of you have already met these folks, and we've gone through all the channels, and we've had to come over here and stand by me. You're going to get to see a lot of them because Dalton is our new youth man here at Osage. And so I want to just encourage them, and I want to encourage you to encourage them. And we're going to do everything in our power at Osage to make their job successful. And in order for that to happen, you have to do everything in your power to make their job successful. So we're going to work at that, and when we voted in business meeting, we had 100% vote to call them as our next youth man. And so, Dalton, I just wanted, if anybody hadn't seen you, I wanted them to see you and your pretty wife, and to be a part of Osage Baptist Church and be on staff here. He'll be, this is his first official day, and next Sunday he's going to be making the announcements, and you'll get to know him a little bit better as we go, and I'm going to ask Dalton to dismiss us with a word of prayer.